Look out, Google, here comes Bing.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Microsoft and Yahoo this morning announced a 10-year deal in which they'll take on Google when it comes to the online search business and the massive advertising that goes with it. Here to talk about the deal is Ina Fried from the tech website CNET.com. Good morning.
Hi.
First, will you sum up how this partnership will work?
So basically, Microsoft is going to be handling the technology that powers the search engine. So Bing, which you've been hearing a lot about lately, will be the underlying search engine for both Microsoft's websites as well as now Yahoo. Yahoo, meanwhile, will handle most of the ad selling duties, so selling the different engines, although it'll actually be Microsoft's technology under the hood that's used to power those search ads.
Who wins here and who loses?
I'm not sure there's necessarily a loser. I mean, they've been struggling to compete with Google, so to the degree that joining forces improves their position, both stand to win. You know, if they get caught up in the sort of internal squabbles or execution challenges, they both stand to lose. Obviously, were they to win, it would come at Google's expense since Google controls the bulk of the market.
Who should care the most about this deal outside of Microsoft, Yahoo, and Google?
Well, in theory, advertisers. So the folks that are paying Google for each keyword, at least if you believe what Microsoft and Yahoo are saying, they should, you know, see benefits from more competition. And really, the theory that they're going to be pushing, you know, to regulators and others is that more competition is good and that they really weren't competing effectively on their own.
Ina Fried from the tech website CNET.com. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
News on the economy this morning. Factory orders for big-ticket durable goods plunged in June, the biggest drop in 5 months. Doug Foreman is director of equities at Highmark Capital. He says we're still seeing ups and downs in planes and machinery.
You know, we're not far enough along in this recovery to expect any sort of steady-state recovery there yet. And what we're seeing in the number today is a lot of weakness in civilian aircraft orders. So I guess all those corporate jets are being cut back on.
Okay, let's see whether stock prices are being cut back. Yep, a little bit. The S&P 500 is down 0.4%. The NASDAQ is down 0.3%. And the Dow is off 25 points at 9,071. Time Warner reports quarterly profits fell by a third from a year ago. ConocoPhillips profits were down by two-thirds. European markets are up 1% or 2%. Asian markets fell earlier in the day. The Obama administration's foreclosure prevention program has been slow to help homeowners in trouble, but the Treasury Department says it got commitments yesterday from the nation's biggest banks and loan servicers to modify more troubled mortgages more quickly. Tamara Keith reports.
The Making Home Affordable program is supposed to help 3 million homeowners by modifying their mortgages so they can actually make the payments. Loan servicers, the companies that collect the checks, are the ones responsible for making that happen. But 5 months into the program, servicers have helped just 200,000 homeowners. Yesterday's meeting was about speeding up the process and improving customer service. Paul Leonard is with the Financial Services Roundtable, an industry group.
We think that a good working relationship with Treasury and HUD has been developed. You know, they want servicers to do more, but they're willing to listen on how to make the program work better.
But that's not enough for Jim Carr of the National Community Reinvestment Coalition.
Simply having the servicers gather in a room and say what they've been saying for more than a year now is not very appetizing. It's very unfulfilling.
We'll have a better sense of how the servicers are doing next week. That's when Treasury plans to release data about how many loans each of them has modified. In Washington, I'm Tamara Keith for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
The federal government is spending a ton of stimulus money to help the states pay their bills and create jobs. Oh, but it's never quite that simple. Michigan Radio's Jennifer Guerra reports the stimulus competition is having unintended consequences.
Let's say your friend has a brand new litter of puppies at her house and they're up for grabs. Problem is, you're not the only one who's interested. So you show up with a box of fancy dog treats. Someone else shows up with a box of fancy dog treats, squeaky toys, and chewies. Game over. The other guy walks home with most of the puppies. You leave with one. That's essentially what happened between Kentucky and Michigan. But instead of puppies, they were interested in lithium-ion automotive battery facilities.
We put the amount of money on the table that we felt was A, going to bring them to Michigan, and B, make a bold statement.
That's Eric Schreffler. He's with the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. After Kentucky ponied up $200 million in incentives to lure essentially one battery facility, Michigan put up $400 million in incentives to lure in four battery facilities. That's because each state is on a mission to become the next automotive battery capital of the world. And since the Department of Energy has over $2 billion in Recovery Act money to spend on the development of these types of batteries, states may be even more willing to woo those battery companies with huge incentives. States have been waging job wars against each other for decades. But Greg LeRoy says this time around it's different because states can spend recovery money to patch up their budgets and free up more state money for incentives. LeRoy is with the watchdog group Good Jobs First.
At the end of the day, what it really means is that there's less money available to improve schools or to maintain roads or to provide college scholarships and create other opportunities for people in the future.
Armin Budish is the Democratic Speaker of the House in the Ohio legislature. He's won some job wars. He's lost some. Either way, he hates it.
What a company will do is play one state against another until they get the best offer. But as long as those are the rules of the game, Ohio's going to compete and compete well.
Ohio just lost a company it's had in town for more than 100 years to Georgia. Georgia offered the company $96 million in incentives to relocate. I'm Jennifer Guerra for Marketplace.
You can follow the economy with us online. Our blogger Scott Jagow has two hot tips this morning, blue M&Ms and moving to Norway. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. The Dow is down 30 points. It's at 9,065. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.